This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And welcome in, Diehard Nation, to the Thursday edition of the program. Hanging out with my pal Mark Linehan, as always. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, you?
Hanging in there, man.
Happy to be here in Canton, safe and sound.
Safe and sound?
Exactly.
The mean streets of Canton, Massachusetts?
Oof. Drive down my high beams on.
All right. Be careful leaving here, too.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
Sean McElroy hanging out here in the studio as well from Abel and Duncan Collectibles. And, Sean, you got a pretty big show you're working coming up.
Yeah, we got a big show in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. It's in the mall, the American Dream Mall there. And 60-plus Yankee players. It's going to give me a big headache next week. Big headache, but it's going to be fun working with a lot of these guys.
But very cool event, Pinstripe Pride 2024, sponsored by eBay. And he mentioned at American Dream at 1 American Way, East Rutherford, New Jersey. And it's HallOfFameSignings.com is the website if you need information. And we'll be talking about that throughout the program. But you're talking, you know, Yankees, Mariano Rivera, Tino Martinez, Goose Gossage, Wade Boggs, David Cone, Bucky Bleepin' Dent, Reggie Jackson, Jack McDowell. The shortstop for the Yankees is going to be
Anthony Volpe, yeah, the up-and-coming, the guy that they say is the next Derek Jeter.
So I call him Volpes.
Volpes. Yep. So if you're a baseball fan, clearly if you're a Yankee fan, this is like heaven for you. So we're going to be talking to a couple of the Yankees that are going to be there. We're going to be joined by former MLB Cy Young winner, Blackjack McDowell, on the program tonight. That should be a fun interview, and he's got some music career and some music stuff he's doing, so that should be fun.
Yeah, it was great. I've already listened to the song. Sounds great. And Jack is great on the air. I've heard him do interviews before, so it's going to be a pleasure talking with him because, you know, he spent the majority of his career with the White Sox, yep, and then a couple of years with the Yankees. But, you know, like you said, he won a Cy Young, so anytime you can talk to a guy that's won one of the prestigious awards, it's a great day.
And then played 22 seasons, former MLB-er, 9-time All-Star, 3-time AL Saves leader, 78 World Series winner, and Hall of Famer. The great Goose Gossage is going to hop on the Progressive Insurance guest line tonight. That should be a blast.
Well, it's going to be a blast as long as he keeps the politics out of the conversation.
All right.
Because he likes to go a little right, so right, hopefully we don't get into that.
You know what? We don't.
So, Joe Biden, what do you think?
Well, you know, if you ask him that, he will tell you, but I'm afraid of the language that's going to come out of his mouth on a national radio show. We don't need that. So.
All right. Well, Charles Carter running Rock and Roll Control in Houston will be on that dump button, and we do have the 7-second delay, dump. So we'll be okay. But a great show lined up for you on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Lots and lots of guests and lots of topics tonight. Big topic, Atlanta Falcons hire the Rams defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris, and we know that's a big story, and we know, you know, he didn't pan out in Tampa and worked his way back and is fortunate and deserving of that head coaching job with the Falcons. But the big story is Bill Belichick didn't get the job.
Yeah, my guess is Bill Belichick didn't want the job in the end. I think when Bill Belichick goes, he interviews you. You don't interview him. And he didn't get the demand. I don't know what demands, but, you know.
He didn't get what he wanted.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Supposedly there was talk in the front office that they didn't want to work with him. They were afraid that he was going to turn the office upside down.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, you know.
That's what he does. Yeah. And he wanted control, and maybe they didn't want to give it to him.
Exactly. That's my guess.
You know, and it's weird because, you know, watching all the shows and listening to all the shows, they're talking about usually when a coach of Bill Belichick's stature, and I mean, there's only one Bill Belichick, but an elite coach like that, if he's not getting a job or he doesn't want the job, he usually leaks it to somebody and says, like, you know, it's just not for him. It's not going to work out. He didn't do it in this instance. So to me, it's a little surprising that it looks like they didn't want him.
Well, anytime you interview for a job and you don't get it, the obvious perception is you didn't get hired. Yeah. I think it's a lot similar to when Harbaugh interviewed Minnesota a couple years ago. And, you know, I have some connections to the University of Michigan football who told me that they started interviewing Harbaugh, and Harbaugh was kind of surprised about how the process went. Yeah. He was under the impression that, hey, I'm coming here. Then,
like, I'm interviewing you if I want to come here. You want me, I'm the goods.
Yeah, they started talking about who we could have on the staff and this and that was the end of that conversation. And I'm just guessing that I think it could have been a similar situation with Belichick here in Atlanta.
Well, I think, it, you know, looking at it, how the mighty have fallen with Belichick, I mean, he has one opportunity to interview, and it doesn't
get the job.
That could
have been by his choosing that he had one interview.
You know, but you look at it, though, and I look at it and I say, you know, Belichick of his choosing didn't want to do that. So where's he going to coach next year?
He might not.
Maybe Kansas City.
He might not.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, if I'm a betting man, I would say,
but Andy Reid steps down.
Everybody's talking about and saying that's a false rumor. So
I don't know.
Who's right?
Sit out a year, do TV, get smarter in public opinion. He has a choice of 8 jobs next year. That's the worst case scenario.
And there are no jobs left other than the Kansas City that you mentioned. Maybe Andy Reid going away. Is the Washington job still available?
Yep. The Washington job is still available, but they're looking at the offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, and I think, you know, there's a possibility that maybe the Philadelphia Eagles owner goes, all right, I've had enough of Serrano. He's fired everybody else. Let's just get rid of him and give it to Belichick. And Belichick's, you know, he's almost perfect for that. He's got the quarterback. He's got the best defense.
I've heard the rumblings, but I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened already.
But maybe because he was so deep in the conversations with Atlanta, they figured, oh, we're not, you know, he's not going to want to come here. But now?
Philadelphia has GM Howie Roseman, who's the owner of Lurie's boy. I don't see Howie Roseman and Bill Belichick getting along.
You have inside knowledge of that relationship?
No comment.
And obviously the big news, that is the big news of the story. The big news, obviously, Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers that you mentioned a few years ago. He interviewed with Minnesota, and he didn't go there, clearly. Leaves Michigan, who offered him, what, $110 million to stay in Michigan? He said, yeah, you know, he wants to win a Super Bowl. He obviously came close and lost to his brother years ago. The best scenario we talk about for a coach to go, Bill Belichick, whomever, was the Chargers, because you have that franchise quarterback. You have talent on that squad. You have offensive and defensive players. You need a few more pieces to make that click.
You have a problem, Pepe, with that team. The team is, what, 27 million over the cap. He's going to have to do some serious reshuffling. He's got the quarterback, but, you know, what else has to go in order to make that team flow next year? I mean, I know you can play with the cap, but you know, I just think what he did last time with Colin Kaepernick, and now he's got a legitimate quarterback. I mean, I'm a collector here. I collect sports cards, and everything's about the stock market. Now that Jim Harbaugh took over, all my stuff with Herbert is gonna go through the roof, because
that's good for you.
It's great. It's great for me. I'm you know, I'm happy.
But
what's a Pepe card going for these days?
It's priceless.
Oh, well, I want him to sign it. We're gonna sit him down at one of the shows, and he's just going to sign for
he's
2 hours.
He's not signing today.
Priceless. Linehan, you like the Harbaugh signing?
Yeah, I think Harbaugh can go. I think if you look at Harbaugh's track record, he kind of wears you out after a few years. He kind of wears out his welcome, and from Stanford to the Niners to Michigan.
He's that guy. There are many coaches like that.
You know, after a few years, his act gets tired, and it's time to go. I think it's unbelievable that he's kind of getting away somewhat unscathed, that he won a national championship. He was suspended twice, the beginning of the year and the end of the year. Yeah. Nobody really talks about that. So I don't know what was coming down the pike for him, even if he stayed at Michigan, for more damage or what he has to sign on the way out, you know, to, you know, settle some crap that went on. But obviously he can coach.
I mean, he wants to coach, and he wants to coach in the NFL, and he's been rumored, like you mentioned a couple of years ago, and he's always that name that was rumored, and obviously wants to win a Super Bowl, came close, as we mentioned. But you know, I don't think if he didn't win it with Michigan, I think he would have stayed. I think that was a key factor where he wins it with Michigan.
I think he was gone.
I think he's gone. I agree with Mark.
Yeah?
I agree with Mark.
I don't know.
I think you're going to see a lot more college guys start to leave in the next couple of years until this
because
NIL.
Of all the nonsense, the NIL, the transfer portal.
Exactly, you know.
It's a disaster.
I think that what I was pretty much told was that Harbaugh was on his way out last year, the 2 years ago at Minnesota, till the interview went in a different direction than he thought. A lot of people thought he'd be gone last year. Nothing was out there. I think this year he was gone regardless if he got the right opportunity in the NFL. And with the suspensions, I mean, he got suspended at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. It's unbelievable that nobody's really, you know.
It's crazy.
He cheated. He got caught. I mean, he got caught.
We will talk with the guy who covers the Chargers coming up next year on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Big weekend in sports. Obviously, the AFC-NFC championship games happening, and I'm pretty excited about both these games. But, Lenny Ann, big weekend. BC-BU, yeah. Number one, number two in the college hockey world, and it's a home and away series. It's going to be a lot of fun here, and it's the hardest ticket to get in this area in New England in a long time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's crazy for a January. I mean, the overall scheme of things, it really doesn't mean a lot in January. Mm-hmm. But I think the key is not to get swept in that way. But
the best scenario for both these schools is you split and you play two good hockey games.
Yeah, the best scenario is you sweep. But you're going to have a game with 26 NHL kids, NHL draft picks on the ice, plus the number one pick in the draft next year with BU's Michael Celebrini. So potential of 27 NHL players on the ice.
It's unbelievable.
And the rosters, the talent is just off the charts. And both teams are playing well. It's going to be interesting. You got two goalies that have never played in a BU-BC game before. All it takes is one of them to let a knuckleball through their legs and change the game.
Are you excited for those Boston College hot dogs tomorrow at the Conti?
Yeah, I'm excited for the nice, polite Catholic kids to yell FBU all night long at the game and stand up in front of me and block my view. It's obviously an exciting opportunity, exciting time to play.
You'll be calling that game with Bernie Corbett, the longtime voice of the Boston University Terriers, and Bernie is quite a character. He'll join us in the second hour of the program tonight on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Is he going to all the Rolling Stones concerts? Like, what's the deal with that?
He travels the world. He's like Spicoli. He's over in London jamming with the Stones.
All right, it's awesome. Well, we got a great lineup for you tonight. Veteran sportscaster Bernie Corbett, as we mentioned, covers basketball later on the program. Barstool Reeks, Bobby Regan will hop on the Progressive Insurance guest line. We will do a Beantown rundown, and as we mentioned, a couple of former big leaguers, Cy Young winner Blackjack McDowell will join us at the bottom of the hour today. And then, of course, in hour number two, it's the Hall of Famer Goose Gossage will hop on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Coming up next, covers the L.A. Chargers, managing editor at the Chargers Wire, writer at the Draft Wire, Gavino Borquez joins the Diehards next.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Sean McElroy hanging out with us tonight as well at the Pepe compound. We'll hop to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Covers the L.A. Chargers, managing editor at the Chargers Wire, writer at the Draft Wire, USA Today, SMG. Gavino Borquez is on the line. Gavino, welcome to the Diehards. Anthony, Mark, and Sean in Boston, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and your schedule probably just got a little busier with your new hiring of your head coach. Safe to say, everybody loves this hire.
What's that? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Is it safe to say that everybody loves this hire?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, there's not one person who does not like this hire. Unless you're Michigan fans, you don't like to see him go. But, as a Chargers fan, like, this is what they've been needing for, more than a decade. Having previously hired first year head coaches, between Mike McCoy, Anthony Lynn, and Brandon Staley, they have been due for an experienced head coach, and for them to be able to strike gold with someone like Jim Harbaugh, like, this is, this is the best case scenario for the Chargers and their fan base.
What's his deal as a coach? Does he have any control over player personnel? Like, what are the specifics? Do you know?
That remains to be seen. So they still don't have a general manager. They're down to two. They're down to Brandon Brown, and they're down to Joe Ortiz, who have both interviewed now. Ortiz interviewed today. And it sounds like they're down to those two. And then we're going to kind of go from there. But a lot of people are thinking, that Harbaugh is going to be control, have like that GM role. But honestly, I think he's going to work together with whoever they hire as a general manager to kind of make the personnel decisions, as far as the staffing and the roster goes.
Do you feel like it was a situation where more like Harbaugh was interviewing them? And how do you think his relationship with the Spanos family will go?
I think it's going to go fine. So I feel like that was another thing that was talked about going into this whole process was, with the Spanos family, they kind of have this like specific title. You know, a lot of people think of him as cheap, you know, like the whole move from San Diego to Los Angeles. They're not a lot of Chargers fans like favorite, and they've kind of like built up this reputation. But I feel like with the hiring of Jim Harbaugh, it shows that they're willing to dish out the money for him. It seems like from what I've heard that discussions went really well. The conversation that they had, they connected really well. And, you know, there are people that are still hesitant about that and think that they're going to kind of clash as like the seasons go on. And, that's why they feel like he's not going to last in Los Angeles, primarily due to the whole Spanos family and the reputation that they've built. But obviously he's in Los Angeles. So it just goes to show that they're trying to build a winning culture. And that's exactly what Jim said, is I'm here to kind of build a winning team. You know, that's why, I chose this team. You know, he's a big fan of Justin Herbert and everything. So I honestly think it's not going to be an issue.
Well, it's, I mean, how do you hire a GM? A GM that's going to take that job has to know going in that you got to, you know, to put it bluntly, Harbaugh's not really going to listen to what he said, don't you think?
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, like that's why, like with Ortiz, you know, Joe Ortiz from the Ravens, he was able to sit in on that interview. So that's why I think it's going to be a collaborative effort. And a lot of people think it's going to be a one-sided Harbaugh thing. And, you know, if he's able to sit in and, you know, he's going to have say of who he wants in as general manager, like the candidates that they've interviewed the entire time have been, you know, top candidates throughout the league. And, you know, whoever they hire as GM, whether it's Brown or Ortiz, like, I think, you know, Harbaugh is going to work well with whoever that is.
Gavino, Sean McElroy here. So you were talking about the general manager and Harbaugh, how they work together. But this team has a lot of decisions to make. I mean, they are over the cap. There's going to be some cuts. I mean, how do you see this kind of shaping up for Harbaugh, you know, going into next year? You know, he's got the quarterback, but what else does he have? Because it seems like they're going to have to make some moves.
Yeah, like I tell everyone, as long as you have Justin Herbert under center, there's a good chance that you're going to win. But as far as the rest of the roster, I can just tell you that this roster is going to be completely reconstructed because you have some notable free agents like Austin Ekeler, but then you have a multitude of players still under contract like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who make up most of the cap space. And, you know, with Williams, he suffered a season-ending injury this past season. Keenan Allen's aging, so you start with those two players and you wonder, okay, we got to do some wheeling and dealing to kind of create some salary cap space because they're $45 million over the expected salary cap. So we'll start with them and then decide, like with Mike Williams, can we trade him or do we just release him flat out? Like, you know, they drafted Quentin Johnson for a reason, hoping that he can kind of be one of the top wide receivers. So then you look at like the edge defender group, like Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. They're still under contract. What are you going to do with them? Bosa's also been injured. So do you try to trade him? Same thing with Khalil Mack. He's coming off of a career year. Yes, but he's aging. Like they're going to have to make these tough decisions of what they want to do with like their top players. And that's why like with the Chargers roster next year, and especially with someone like Harbaugh, he's going to construct it the way he wants to. So, you know, people know the Chargers for like these notable players like the Allen Williams, Derwin James, and so forth. But, you know, this is going to be like a completely different roster, and it'll be fascinating to see how they go about clearing up that cap space, who's going to stay, who's going to leave, and then what they could possibly do in free agent, you know, and like with previous ties to Jim Harbaugh, and they basically have to strike gold in the draft. You know, having the fifth overall pick, they can get a playmaker there, but it's going to be definitely a fascinating process to see how it transpires.
So is this a multi, you know, is this going to take multiple years for him to really build up the team that he needs? So they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender from day one. Do you see this evolving over a 2 or 3 year period for him before he finally gets the team that he really wants out of the deal?
Honestly, I think I see them making the playoffs from his first season, honestly, because, you know, under Brandon Staley like that, he was like basically the big problem. You know, they made the playoffs in his first or the previous season as head coach. And obviously we know how that kind of went. They blew that huge lead to Jacksonville and then it kind of carried over. Like they gave him another chance and they just weren't winning games. So he was probably the biggest issue, you know, touted as this defensive guru. Obviously the Chargers went 5-12, but you know, Harbaugh is a proven winner. That's why they brought him in during, you know, dating back to his time in Stanford with the 49ers and now Michigan over the past three seasons where they went 40-3 and then, you know, now just won a national championship. So it starts with that, and they haven't had a head coach that has been like a proven winner. It's been these first-time head coaches for the past three guys that they've brought in. And, you know, now it's time to flip the script. And like I said a little earlier, as long as you have Herbert under center, there's a good chance of winning. And, yes, while they have to create a lot of space, like, yes, this whole roster is going to be completely revamped, I feel like they have an idea in mind to, like, make sure that the Chargers are able to compete. And that's why, like, if this was a team with, like, a questionable quarterback, yeah, I would say give it a couple years. But, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl in his first season as head coach, but I definitely think they can at least make the playoffs.
Got about a minute left here. Sticking with the Staley theme, if he doesn't lose 63-21 on a Thursday night, is there any chance he's still coaching this team?
Any chance he's going to be coaching the league or coaching the team?
Well, I guess either at this point.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, Staley goes, like, I feel like he's going to find a job somewhere as, like, a defense coordinator. And, you know, I think a position that just opened up was the Dolphins defensive coordinator opening. He's kind of been linked to them. So I think that Staley's going to find a job as defensive coordinator. And then you have Raheem Morris go to the Falcons, which opens up a Rams defensive coordinator spot. He's been there before with Sean McVay. So I expect Staley to be coaching this upcoming season.
Gavino, how can fans find you? How can Die Hard Nation find you?
Yes, you can find me at Twitter. My name is Gavino Borquez. It's just spelled as is. There's no, you know, under dashes, anything like that. And then at the Chargers Wire, that's where you can find all of my work. And I'll also be doing work at Draft Wire, too.
All right, man. Keep up the good work. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you later down the line.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Covers the LA Chargers. Again, managing editor at the Chargers Wire. Writer at the Draft Wire and USA Today, SMG, Gavino Borquez on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Exciting times if you're the Chargers. You have your quarterback. You now have your coach. You don't have Brandon Staley coaching. You don't have Anthony Lynn coaching.
Yep.
You have a guy that knows what he's doing. They got a high pick in the draft. Most likely they're going to give their franchise quarterback a weapon or a tackle. And it should be interesting to see what happens, but can he build a Super Bowl winner? It's the reason they brought him in. It's the reason why they paid him all this money. They need a Super Bowl in L.A. and the Chargers, and Justin Herbert has all the talent in the world.
Yeah, you wonder, too, about, you know, how many people he's going to blow up out of jobs as far as, you know, behind-the-scenes people and the whole coaching staff. I'm guessing he got the green light to do whatever he wants.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. When we return, he played for the Chicago White Sox, New York Yankees, Cleveland Indians at the time. And the Angels, three-time All-Star, 93 Cy Young winner, Blackjack Jack McDowell is next.
Walk some miles and start talking, gonna make some smiles at the dog's barking. Don't stop when you start barking, gonna wear those styles when you start barking. Gonna live that style.
This is the Die Hard on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Let this play a little, Charles Carter. Come on, crank it up. I like it. It's good stuff. Sean McElroy here as well. And let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. He played in the bigs for the White Sox, Yankees, Cleveland Angels. It's a three-time All-Star, 1993 Cy Young Award winner, called Blackjack, the greatest nickname of all time. Jack McDowell is on the Progressive Insurance guest line with the Diehards. Hey, Jack, welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you?
How's it going, Dad?
We're doing all right. Who sings that song that we were just playing?
That is me, man. I did everything at home. That's a new song.
That's good stuff, man. So you keep it busy. That's my first question. What's keeping you busy these days? What's obviously your music and your passion for music, right?
Well, yeah, I like doing that. But the tough thing is now is that's more of a rock and roll type song, and that's not being pushed too much these days.
Well, it's good stuff. We're going to keep it in our rotation. We're going to play it from time to time, if that's okay with you.
Cool.
All right, man. Hey, yesterday, Major League Baseball announced Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton named to the Hall of Fame yesterday. Did the voters get this one right?
Yeah, it's really weird what's going on in the Hall of Fame on and off. Like, so many people that haven't gotten in probably should be in by now.
Sure.
But they aren't being allowed. And, you know, a lot of the fans come back and reach out directly about that kind of stuff. So I don't even know what's going on with all that.
We're here in Boston, and we see you're originally drafted by the Red Sox. Was there any chance of you signing there before you went to Stanford?
What's that?
We're here in Boston. I said you were originally drafted by the Red Sox. I'm wondering, was there ever any chance of you signing before you picked Stanford?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is I was drafted way late.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and look in that era, anybody that was drafted going to Stanford because of the Stanford school being such a high-rated school, nobody signed. And nobody even signed as juniors. They had to get all the way through the college before they signed to go to professional baseball. And so that's why, you know, everyone knew I was going to Stanford, so I didn't get signed early.
Hey, Jack, Sean McElroy here. I had a question about, you know, your 93 Cy Young year. Every year you go into the year and you hope for, you know, high expectations that, you know, you're going to, you know, do well and stuff, but when did you feel that you were on that pace for the Cy Young during that year? When did you figure that you weren't going to be in the running? Do you remember much about that year?
Well, it's just, you know, the past 3 years going into that is when I just kept moving forward. If you go look, probably the 1991 was one of my best seasons, but I only won 17 games. But I think, looking back on it, that I just had a bunch of saves that were blown. I had a bunch of blown saves, so I would have, you know, won 25 games if they would just let me finish more, or if we would have just won games and we should have. So I don't know. So, and then, you know, you just keep going. And the year before, I was number two overall, so I knew I had a chance.
You know, when you look at your career and you look at pitching now, I mean, you're talking about a guy yourself that, you know, you knew in April you were going to get 30 starts, 200 innings, and then you look at complete games, 15, 13, 10. Why do you think the game has changed that doesn't happen anymore? And B, how much money could you have made this year with those numbers?
yeah, I know. It's crazy. And that's the thing. They say, oh, there's no longer any complete games and all this, and they blame the pitchers for it, but that's not true. They just aren't allowed to keep pitching. And if you look, you know, a lot of the metrics that they're trying to say, oh, the third and fourth at-bats that guys get off the pitchers, that's their best at-bats because they've seen the guy twice in the game. Well, you know what? That isn't about every single specific pitcher. If they go back and look at the specifics of one pitcher and how is he doing. Is he doing well? Yeah, well, let him go throughout the game until the other team starts beating up on him. They're the ones that decide when it's time for the pitcher to come out of the game, not just predetermined stuff like that's going on now.
You got into coaching after your career, coaching some college baseball. How did your coaching approach reflect the change of the game in the way that we just talked about with pitches?
Yeah, you know, the tough thing about it is it's all about velocity now and all that. But the thing is it's about the reality of being good in every position of baseball, whether it's pitching, hitting, base running, or defense. You need to be able to move pitch to pitch. You need to be able to move around. Hey, oh, something just happened, or you just saw something. You got to make a move. You got to do something different. You can't just predetermine everything that's going to happen. And that's what's happening now. They're just predetermining it, and then all they care about is, oh, how hard is this guy throwing? Well, you know what? Who cares? Is he throwing strikes? Is he, you know, and why is pitching good? Well, pitching is good when you have command and you can make different style pitches. You can make curveballs, sliders, changeups. You know, no one throws knuckleballs anymore, but think about how great all the knuckleball pitchers were and how hard it was to hit those.
So it isn't just about velocity that's hard to hit. And here's the funny part about velocity that I've actually done some work on. Okay, 100 miles per hour compared to 90 miles per hour. Okay, you're throwing from 60 feet. So by the time you step out there and release the ball, it's probably like 55 feet or 52 feet, depending on how tall and long your arm is. So in 52 feet, how much difference is 10 miles per hour? Does anyone know that?
That, I mean, it's got to be a lot.
Well, it's, if you do the math of that in a 55 foot with a 10 mile per hour, and it's only like a 2 second from your hand to the catcher, it's like a 2 second thing. So what's the difference? It's a 6 inch difference.
Yep.
Wow. So is that really that big of a deal?
No.
No. Wow. So if you throw 90 or 100, it's only a 6 inch difference. And you look at how much of a difference that is. Big deal. If a guy's swinging, you know, a 6 inch difference, that ain't going to matter. And that's why back in the day of pitching and worrying about all the different pitches and going back and forth and up and down speed wise and all that kind of stuff, your changeup, they wanted to be 15 miles an hour different than your fastball.
Crazy. Hey, as a Red Sox fan here, I can't let you go without asking about one of my favorite moments is when you're in Yankee Stadium and gave the fans the finger.
Everyone says that. And the thing is that the knowledge about what that was is they blew my mind out by booing me so hard. And that was the first time that I had faced the White Sox after the White Sox traded me illegally to the Yankees.
That's good stuff.
And it's like, you know, what do you think? I'm not trying to kill them right now. And I just happen to be beating me, and you're going to all boo me in front of them. I was so upset about that. You know, and then at the end of it all, like, oh, yeah, okay, I realize that probably wasn't a great thing.
No, it was a great thing.
It was.
We had a bunch of the old school dudes show up that weekend, you know, for the Yankees thing. And I was thinking a lot of them were going to be, like, mad at me for doing that. And it's funny because a couple of them told me, oh, you know what, you started doing that. You said all the old school guys, these people used to boo all the time, and they always used to flip them off. Like, really? Oh, okay, well, thanks for not being super mad at me, but I ain't going to do it no more.
There he is, three-time All-Star, Cy Young Award winner, the great Blackjack McDowell, who's going to be at the Pinstripe Prime 2024 event, sponsored by eBay, an in-person autograph event, 60-plus guests, February 2nd through the 4th at the American Dream, One American Way in East Rutherford, New Jersey. If you need information, the number is 607-269-7567. info@hallofamesignings.com is the email. And tickets for this great event that are going to include Jack McDowell, Mariano Rivera, Tino Martinez, Goose Gossage, Wade Boggs, David Cohn, and many, many more. Tickets are at hallofamesignings.com. Thank you, Blackjack. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Blackjack.
All right, guys. Have a good time.
I'll see you next Friday, Blackjack.
All right, there he is, Blackjack McDowell on the Progressive Insurance guest line. We'll take a timeout when we return. Highest rated segment of the program, B-Town Rundown, is next.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Also hanging with us tonight is Sean McElroy from Abel and Duncan Collectibles. Big show happening, Pinstripe Pride 2024 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. You need information, hallofamesignings.com. Talk more about that on the program tonight.
You signing, Pep?
I am not signing.
Are we still on in St. Louis?
But Hall of Famer and World Series champion Goose Gossage will be signing. The Goose.
I'd like to go drinking with Goose.
Yeah. Not the one from Top Gun, because he's dead.
No, that would be better, though, I guess.
Goose really gets into it politically when he drinks.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah?
Really does.
And now, rumor has it Goose Gossage is in Arizona at a golf tournament.
I believe he's playing golf. I don't know if he's in a golf tournament, but...
So is he having some beverages? Should Charles Carter running Rock and Roll Control in Houston be worried?
You never know.
All right. Hey, before we get to the Beantown Rundown, I want to tell you about my friends at Chicken Lou's. Chicken Lou's served the Boston community with unique menu items for over 30 years. Now the Chicken Lou's legacy continues with Chicken Lou's Distribution LLC, bringing popular sauces and seasoning salts straight to your door. Order today at chickenlews.com. That's chickenlews.com. Check out the Chicken Lou's gift set, which is perfect for employee gifts or corporate clients. Chicken Lou's also delivers gift baskets locally here in New England. Check them out. Chickenlews.com. That's chickenlews.com. And tell them the Diehard sent you. And they just dropped off some honey mustard sauce that's off the charts. And all the boys here at the Pepe Compound in Linehan, you two are going to walk away with a parting gift tonight.
Stop it.
You're welcome.
Get out of here.
You're welcome. That's just how I roll.
After 20 years?
Honey mustard sauce,
still,
boom.
I've been still waiting for a rub from Leanne.
There you go. Well, she has the good rubs.
We like
the rub stuff, the sauce and stuff she does.
Yeah,
For the barbecue, yeah.
Absolutely.
You like that?
All right, B-Town rundown time. Who wins the AFC Championship game? Kansas City at Baltimore. Current line is Baltimore -4. Total is 44 and a hook. Question two, who wins the NFC Championship game? Detroit at San Francisco. The line is now up to a touchdown as the San Francisco 49ers are favored by 7. 51.5 is the total in the NFC Championship game. Question three, what team as of now has a better chance to win the ship? The Boston Celtics or the Boston Bruins? The way they're playing right now, January 25th, who has a better chance? Who is better? Who will win the ship? The B's or the C's? Question four. Who win more games next year, Michigan or Alabama? Both have new coaches. Both big-time coaches are gone with the programs. You're going to have a lot of player movement, a lot of transfer portals, a lot of players hopping in and undeclaring, saying, that was my guy. I may not be going to the school now. A lot of movement. So who wins more games? And then question five, Jim Harbaugh, will he win a Super Bowl with the Chargers? Again, we talked about it earlier. He has the quarterback. But do you think when it's all said and done, Harbaugh brings a championship
to
the Charger Nation?
I think America, and especially our Cougar fans in St. Louis, would like to know your opinions on these things instead of asking the questions.
Someday I'll do that.
All right. Which day would that be?
But I don't know. No, it's not going to happen tonight.
Okay.
Well, are you afraid right? of it?
I'm not going to determine my programming on some cougar in St. Louis.
Why not?
What's her name?
What do you want her name to be?
All right.
Let's call her Lucy.
All right. I have no idea.
I have no idea what just happened.
AFC Championship, Kansas City at Baltimore. Linehan, who you got?
I'm going to answer both questions at once because at the beginning of the season, I had Kansas City and San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
All right.
So I guess I got to stick with it. Thought it was chalk back then, probably still the same. But
you like Kansas City going into Baltimore and beating them?
I got to stick with it, right? Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
Did you bet on it?
Yeah, I bet $8.
All right, to win how much?
$17.50.
All right, it's a good bet.
Sup.
So you like Kansas City and you like San Fran. You don't think Detroit can pull the upset?
I think Detroit's all done, but then again, I'm a dope.
All right.
I'm going to completely disagree with everything he just said.
Now I feel better.
I think that Baltimore is going to send Kansas City on a nice little vacation.
All right.
Andy Reid's going to go on a lifelong vacation. Bill Belichick's going to take over as head coach.
Oh, that would be a hoot.
I like Baltimore at the 4 points. 44, I don't know if I can get myself to 44 points. I want to say under on that. I'm going to go on the under with the 44.
All right. In another game, can the Lions pull the upset and keep the dream season alive?
I think so. After watching San Francisco last week, I think anything's possible with the Lions.
Green Bay should have beat them.
Yeah, they
Green should've. Bay should have beat them. They had two potential pick sixes that the D-backs had.
But no, I'm talking about San Francisco, though. I mean, Going into that fourth quarter, they should have been blown out. Like it should have been that close game.
So, who'd you have, Pep? I sense a trend here.
I had overs last week, so I actually won both bets.
I'm going to go under on the 51, and I'm going to take Detroit 7 points.
All right, I will take the 7 points as well. I didn't like the way San Francisco looked. I know Detroit is...
The city itself or the football team?
It's playing on house money right now. And I like Kansas City as well. I've always liked Kansas City. I know Baltimore's a wagon, but I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. And again, six straight AFC championship games with Patrick Mahomes. I'm taking Kansas City and Detroit, and it's going to be Taylor Swift against Eminem. Duh.
Wow, there you go. I'd pay to see that. Will they fight?
They might fight. They might.
Two skinnies going at it.
What team now has a better chance to win? Caesar Beaslingham.
I think the Celtics do. I think it's a tougher road for the Bruins in the NHL playoffs. Yep. Matchup-wise, I think the Celtics only have a couple of teams that might give them a headache. Bruins, you see them play a team like last night. They got the Carolinas and Floridas in their way that might be bad matchups for them. And, you know, I think they got a couple of moves away from being ready to go.
Do you worry about the hangover that the Bruins had with the historic season last year and going into this? Is that going to play any role
in
this?
So. I think that's out the window day one. All right. You know?
What about the rotating goalies going into the playoffs?
Well, I don't know if they'll do that or not. By then, I don't know if they'll even have two goalies by then, and I think that they'll play the hot one this time.
So you like the season
really?
Bees, though?
He said that he won't. Wow, that's... Yeah. That's
Sean, who do you think has a better chance?
I mean, I think that... It's so hard to pick an NHL team. The NHL playoffs are the best playoffs in all of sports. They're the best playoffs. So to go into it and say the Bruins, you know, I mean, to say the Bruins have a chance, yeah, they got a chance. But as Mark said, they're not as deep. They're a couple moves away. You know, I think that they need another defenseman as well. I like the Celtics. The Celtics have the team. They don't have to make any moves. You know, they have Milwaukee. Maybe Miami, Philadelphia. It's really, you know, there's really only a few teams for them to get through. And then on the Western Conference, I mean, you're probably going to go through Denver, you know, who they had problems with last week. And you're going to see what team shows up for the Celtics. But I think the Celtics have the much easier chance to get through to the finals and potentially win the championship.
Both these big-time college football programs, Michigan Wolverines, Alabama Crimson Tide, both have a coaching turnover as the legendary Hall of Fame coach Nick Saban leaves and Jim retires, and Jim Harbaugh takes the Chargers' job. Linehan, who's going to win more games next year? Because you're going to have a lot of players opting out, transferring, undeclaring, you know, in the to go to the school. How do you see this playing out, and who wins more?
You know, I think you're exactly right. I think it's interesting talking to college coaches that I know is that they have had their eyes on Michigan's team for the portal. Anytime you anticipate a coach is going to leave, other schools start eyeballing their roster, the kids that might not fit in with the next coach. I think if you look at their schedule next year, with USC is coming in and some, you know, I think Michigan's schedule is a little bit tougher than Alabama's. So I'll take my shots with Bama in the SEC.
All right, Sean, who you have?
I'm going to go with Michigan because right now it seems like one of their coordinators is going to take over the head coaching job. At least that's the rumor right now. And if he takes over the head coaching job, it kind of keeps the, you know, I think it keeps some of the guys happy to stay in Michigan. The only thing I will say
is... So is a paycheck.
Well, it could be. He's not going to get the Jim Harbaugh paycheck, that's for sure. But the only thing I could say is if Michigan gets hit with sanctions for the cheating scandal, and it happens, you know, before the summertime, I could see, you know, a mass exodus in Michigan, and Alabama has a better year. But I'm going to go with Michigan right now.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I had over 10.5 wins, total wins for Michigan, and I whacked that bet. It'll be interesting to see, like, how Alabama and how this new coach from Washington, Callum DeBoer, and how he fits into a program like Alabama. I know he's won everywhere. I know he's a likable guy. I know he's highly respected in the coaching circles. But I'm curious to see how he's going to do with a team with the talent of Alabama. This guy's as good a coach as he is, and he gets the talent. I guess you have to say look out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He can coach, obviously. You look at his record from other places that he's been. And now he's coming into a place with a ton of NIL money,
yeah,
you know, which is huge.
A lot of advantage to Jim Harbaugh. Will he win a Super Bowl with the Chargers?
No, no chance.
No, I don't think so either. No. I don't think so. Again, you can have the quarterback, but you need a lot more pieces.
He'll be on to the next job by the time they're good.
And it'll be all 3 years from now, and people will want Jim Harbaugh out of it. Yeah. There'll be some cheating scandals with him again.
I completely disagree. I think he's going to win the Super Bowl because I think that people are going to want to come to L.A. People like playing in L.A. It's a big destination. And right. I think he's going to win a Super Bowl.
Coming up next, nine-time All-Star, three-time AL Saves leader, World Series winner and Hall of Famer, Goose Gossage. Keep it right here. It is the Diehards.